Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Thursday. We are absolutely packed today. Greg Cosell, Greg Jennings, Greg Olson, Greg Show. Live in L.A., it's The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Very, very exciting day today. Very exciting. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. It's, you know, it's the little things for me. Like lemon pepper wings and a very busy NFL news day.
Wow.
This is like this morning, like, yes.
So Deshaun Watson has officially requested a trade from the Texans per league sources. Now let's just start with this. This doesn't happen. You sign in the NFL after your contract, they extend you, then you're franchise tagged. You don't get 25-year-old star quarterbacks on the market. This does not happen. Ever. The last, quote, star quarterback on the market was Kirk Cousins. All right. In the history of the NFL, this doesn't happen. He wants out. So now, that's the first thing. This is unbelievable. The second thing is this. He's got a no trade clause. He has to approve it. So let's just not make up crazy scenarios. He's not going where he doesn't want to go. There are 8 teams that will be at least talking about it. I'm not going to count the Colts, because the Texans are not going to trade him in division and play him twice a year. I'm not counting them. And I'm not counting the Saints, who are $100 million over the cap, so they can't sign an expensive quarterback. Okay, just take them out. Here's the 8. Jets, Miami, New England, Carolina, 49ers, Washington, and Chicago. Now, I'm going to put them in order. As if I'm Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying the team that has the picks that can make it work. I'm Deshaun Watson. What would I choose based on a variety of factors? Number one would be San Francisco by a mile. Okay, they are, without Deshaun Watson, a top 5 Super Bowl favorite next year. They just had bad injuries. They lost their quarterback. They are stacked, and they're not real happy with Jimmy Garoppolo. So in terms of, I just want to go to a team that can win, they got everything. They are, and after San Francisco, the next 7 I'm going to list, there's a but. I'm Deshaun Watson, I'd go Miami second. Why? I got a really good defense and a really good coach. But they are rebuilding their offensive line. But I don't love their ownership group. Number 3 would be New England. Best football coach ever. Above average defense. Offensive line talent, not bad at all, but they have no weapons. And that division's getting better. They got no weapons. They got no tight ends. They got no wide receivers. They have no star backs. Number 4 would be Washington, but don't love the owner. A lot of dysfunction. You get a great defense. Bunch of first-round picks up front. You got a really good young receiver. And you get a grown-up, an adult, Ron Rivera, who's got a long contract. So he's going to be there a while. That gives me coaching stability. Number 5, and then it gets interesting. Denver is interesting. I really like their young tight end. I really like their young receivers. They've got some really interesting pieces on this roster. I really like them. But Vic Fangio's in his 60s. He's probably an 0-4 start from being fired. John Elway is no longer the GM. They've hired a new guy. But I do like their wide receiving weapon talent. Number 6, I'd go Chicago. Love their defense. Love the city. But the GM and the coach are on the hot seat. They could both be gone by Thanksgiving. I don't like that instability. I get to face Aaron Rodgers twice a year. Be good for my PR, my billboard campaigns. I mean, let's face it, twice a year I'm in the biggest NFL game of the weekend. That'd be awesome for my marketing, my PR. Number 7, Carolina. I really like their coach, and they got some nice weapons. But they're in a total rebuild. You're going to be in shootouts almost every week. Christian McCaffrey, sensational. I really like their weapons, but it's a rebuild. It's a rebuild job. And we don't know if Matt Rhule's great yet. I think he is, but I don't know he is. And then number eight, and this is why it's fantastic theater. The Jets have nothing I would want. I want a dependable head coach, ownership, and front office stability and weapons. Jets don't have any of it. But of all the teams, this works best. They could give the Texans Sam Darnold. They could give the Texans Sam Darnold and the number two pick, so you get Zach Wilson. The Jets makes the most sense by a mile, and I think Deshaun would make it work. And Deshaun has said, I like Robert Saleh. But what is fascinating about this, the Jets are the worst choice, but they're the one organization that the Texans can call and get a future star quarterback, a bunch of first, second, and third round picks. I don't have to play him in division. I won't have to see him very often. In fact, I could get Sam Darnold for a year and a number two pick. And then when the number two pick's ready to play, I could trade Sam Darnold and get more picks. The Jets make the most sense by a mile, and I think it would be fascinating. But in terms of I'm Deshaun Watson and what I as a quarterback would want, Jets would be eighth. I mean, seriously, ownership do you trust? Front office do you know? Robert Saleh, who knows? Weapons bad, O-line bad. They have one workable running back. They got nothing. But my guess is this morning, the Jets are in the hunt very early for this. We got a 25-year-old star quarterback available to the market. That does not happen in the National Football League. It does not happen. It's crazy. The last star available was Kirk Cousins. All right, so yesterday I talked about something. I called it the mythology of talent. I always hear about talent. Oh, this guy's talented. That guy's talented. Do you win games? So according to a story, a third of NFL teams, a third, 10, 11, have inquired about trading for Matt Stafford. Last 3 years, 14 and 33. But he's talented. So Deshaun Watson, who had a coach that got fired and a bad defense and a shaky O-line, last 3 years, 25-22, a division title and a playoff win. Carson Wentz, last 2 years, won a division. Coach got fired, no weapons, and bizarre injuries. Matt Stafford's gone 12 years. He's had four winning seasons. I'm not asking for the Super Bowl. I'm not asking for the NFC Championship. But 12 years, no division titles, no playoff wins? Yeah, I know he's talented, but even at Georgia, 9-4 one year, 10-3. Andrew Luck went to Stanford with Stanford's talent. In his last 2 years, he was 23-3. Even when he had Georgia talent, he was losing 3-4 games a year. Andy Dalton made the playoffs five times. Andy Dalton has the Steelers and Ravens in his division. Mitch Trubisky in Matt's division has won it two of the last 3 years. And we don't know if he has the right coach, the right GM, or anything on offense. Sometimes you got to show me you can win. Andrew Luck had nothing. Nothing. When you tell me Matt Stafford had nothing. He went 11-5, 11-5, 11-5 AFC Championship. Deshaun Watson keeps winning games. He's had nothing but dysfunction. Even in his own division against the Bears and Vikings, let's take Aaron Rodgers out of it. Okay, so he can't beat Aaron Rodgers. Against the Bears and Vikings, he's 19-22. It reminds me, in the NBA, there's players like this. Everybody keeps telling me, I remember Tracy McGrady. Oh, my God, he's got so much talent. Tracy's a nice guy. I've met him. Oh, my God, Tracy McGrady's got great talent. He never won a playoff series. Oh, Zach LaVine. Oh, my God, Zach LaVine. Oh, my. How come he's never on winning teams? Well, Colony doesn't have a lot to work with. Chris Paul wins everywhere. In a league of tall men, he's 6'2.5". Chris Paul wins everywhere. Chris Paul went to Oklahoma City. Joy and I watched. They were tanking. They were tanking. And they had nobody except Chris Paul. And they ended up, what? Hottest team in the NBA the last month and a number 4 or 5 seed. In fact, they traded Chris Paul from Oklahoma City because he was screwing up their tanking. Then they trade him to a team that hasn't won in years, Phoenix. Now they're winning. Damian Lillard. Portland's not a hot free agent market. The second best player they have is a lesser version of Damian Lillard. He gets to the conference championship. Damian Lillard wins games. He doesn't have a hot free agent market. He doesn't have a dominating cohort. How the hell did they get the playoffs last year? They had no wings. In the West, they had no wing defenders. But Chris Paul figures out ways to win. DeSean wins. Went, as much as we criticize him, wins. Damian Lillard wins. After a while, you got to give me more than talent. Because I'm the coach here. Everybody's going, that guy's got talent. That guy's got talent. That gets coaches fired. You got talent, gets coaches fired. Chris Paul just won. Damian Lillard wins. DeSean Watson wins. Wentz, maybe fourth of those four. He was won a lot of games with a mess around him. I mean, think about this. Since Matt Stafford came into the NFC North, Mitch Trubisky's won a division twice. Case Keenum, Jay Cutler, and Teddy Bridgewater. 12 years, you got to give me one. Aaron Rodgers has been hurt twice. You got to give me one. I got nothing against Matt Stafford. I think he's talented. But boy, if a third of the league is after him, it shows you the mythology of talent. At some point, 12 years, you got to start winning more games. All right, the Houston Texans have a new coach. Oh, boy. And the Rams just shifted into hyper-aggressive gear. Oh, wow. These teams and these quarterbacks, we got GMs that are getting rid of people and quarterbacks are getting rid of teams. I love it. We love it. 1 hour from now, Greg Gosell.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
At Jersey Mike's, app is short for appetizing. Right now, save 25% in your order with the code JM25. JM25. Now through Saturday. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Greg Gosell, top of next hour. So the Houston Texans' dysfunction remains embarrassing. It's cult-ish. So they just hired David Culley. He's 65. He's been in the NFL 27 years as a coach. He's never been offered a coordinator job. That's the new coach. Tim Graham, who covers the Bills, a Buffalo sports writer, chatted last night with somebody who worked closely with David Culley when he worked in Buffalo. Tim Graham said, "What kind of a head coach do you think he'll be?" "He's an awesome person." Silence. "What about as a coach?" "Terrific guy." "What impact did he have in Buffalo?" "A great guy." Silence. Folks, late bloomer is overrated. In comedy, there's one exception, Rodney Dangerfield. The great comedians, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Seinfeld, Jon Stewart, were noticed in their early 20s and crushing it by their late 20s. In American Idol, ever notice the stars are young? There are no late bloomers. John Madden would be one of the all-time great coaches, but Madden, former coach of the Raiders, had an intense fear of flying. So he retired early to be a broadcaster, where he took a Winnebago, the Madden Mobile, around the country. John Madden was brilliant. He was hired at 32 as a head coach of, at the time, the Raiders, a marquee franchise. Nobody hired people in their early 40s. Madden got it at 32. Andy Reid, a head coach at 40. Belichick, 39. Saban, 36. Urban in his 30s. Tomlin, early 30s. Don Shula, early 30s. Everybody in America, every industry, mine, yours, NFL, is seeking great young talent. Nobody slips through the cracks for 35 years. I'm sure he's a terrific guy. This is a bad hire. Never been offered a coordinator. It just doesn't work that way. It just does not work that way in the NFL. Sean McVay had teams vying on him. Shanahan, teams vying on him. Tomlin, Shula, Belichick, Andy Reid. That doesn't mean he can't be fired. It can be a bad fit. Pete Carroll was. He got hired again. He was fired. He got hired again and again. Like, come on, man. This is the late bloomer thing. And I get it. Maybe this is a bad organization that just kept hearing no thanks. That's what happened here. Houston, people wanted Eric Bieniemy to get it. He should thank his lucky stars he didn't take it. He was smart enough to not take it. This is a bad organization. They were left with this coach. This was not their first choice. They got two words for the last 3 weeks. No thanks. And you're wondering why Deshaun Watson wants out. This is what they get. He's a nice guy. And a lot of nice guys. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we're here in Los Angeles, and the Rams were not a team that we talked about quite as much as we did about the team that didn't do as well, which was the Chargers, because right. They have their franchise quarterback, and the Rams franchise quarterback, Jared Goff's position as the starter, is not very secure heading into the 2021 season.
I heard this.
There are rumors that he could be moved this offseason. But if he is not traded, there will reportedly be an open competition in training camp between Goff and his backup, John Wolford, for the starting job.
Okay, so that's fine. Why does this make the press? It makes the press because the Rams wanted out, because the Rams went to Goff's agent and said, hey, we did you a solid. Take a haircut on your neck. Take a haircut now. Let's redo the contract. The agent said no, and so they're going to embarrass the client. And put listen, I don't have a problem with doing this, but why does it make it out? We always say this. Stories get out because somebody wants them out. Goff doesn't want this out.
No. And I mean, when you think about it, and no disrespect to John Wolford, but it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
Jared Goff is obviously better than Wolford. Anytime a backup quarterback comes in and does anything different than the starter does or has some sort of spark, everyone falls in love with the backup quarterback. It happens
Every single time. Yeah.
Every single time. Unless it's just an absolute superstar. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Like, Ryan
Fitzpatrick. But if Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing that well, there would be some way that Chad Henne would be, that he would have some fans.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is the best backup quarterback in the league. A third of the NFL is vying for Matt Stafford. Nobody's vying for Ryan Fitzpatrick. We fall in love with the backups, but there's a reason they're backups.
Every single time. But to your point about his contract, Goff will take up $67 million in cap space over the next two seasons. He has a cap hit of $35 million next season, $43.325 million in fully guaranteed payments due over the next 2 years. The Rams would face a $65.2 million cap hit if they move on from Goff this offseason. So, yes, they're very tied up with this contract. Now, I didn't hate this contract when it was first signed. Everyone kind of freaked out about it. You have to pay your franchise quarterback. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
But you also have to perform if you're the franchise quarterback
right.
as well. And if you're going to need a bunch of pieces around you and you're going to basically handicap the franchise moving forward, then, you know, it might be in your best interest to wiggle around. Now, again, it's not our money we're talking about here. So maybe if we're Jared Goff, we're like, yeah, no.
Right.
I'm not doing anything. I earned this money, and this is what you paid me. You chose to give me this contract. You guys figure it out.
By the way, if I take less money and restructure it, and in a year you don't like me, then I go somewhere else, and I've given up that money, and I never get it back.
Yeah.
So I get Goff's and his agent's position.
Exactly. So Philip Rivers is retiring, and the Colts have to fill their starting quarterback position next season, and owner Jim Irsay is looking forward to that opportunity.
It's not... Oh, how do you solve the quarterback situation? Boy, is that a tough problem. Isn't that going to be hard? No, that's opportunity. I see this as opportunity. It can go in a lot of different directions, and we just have to make sure we go in the right direction without setting ourselves back as we pursue the new quarterback frontier.
Can I get that chair?
I know.
Set. I just realized I needed to upgrade my home studio.
Very
look.
Game of Thrones.
It was. Well, it's the Iron Throne. He's right. They have a wonderful opportunity here, and they have to get it right. They are a team. I would even put them slightly ahead of. Well, yeah, I would. I would put them in a slightly ahead of the Dolphins because they made the playoffs this year. So the Colts are in a position to win right now. They have everything in place. They just need a franchise quarterback.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. And they'll, you know, it's interesting with their contractual situation. Do they want to when you're in that Super Bowl window, and they are because they're really good and really young and really talented, do they really want to draft a quarterback and grow with him for 3 years, or do they want to go on the market and get a Garoppolo or Stafford who have their issues, but you don't have to teach them how to play quarterback in the NFL?
If I'm the Colts, I'm going all in. We talk about Super Bowl windows all the time. We talked about if their Super Bowl window is open, halfway closed the other day. It's open, but it closes very quickly. A lot of things change very quickly. I mean, the 49ers were just in the Super Bowl, and now they're talking about moving off of Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, yep. Things change very quickly in this league. They're 9th in scoring, 10th in total offense, 10th in scoring on defense, 8th in total defense. Like, they're set. And they have some stars, Michael Pittman, Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, DeForest Buckner, T.Y. Hilton, Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
They have a lot of pieces. You just have to get somebody who can come in right now and start making things happen. I'm with you. I don't see Deshaun Watson going there. I would have loved to see Carson Wentz go there, but it seems like the Eagles are going to hang on to him. I think Sam Darnold is not a bad choice, and I also could see Jimmy Garoppolo going there as well. Although Matthew Stafford may end up there. So finally, the 76ers have started with an Eastern Conference best 13-6 record in Daryl Morey's first season as team president. And he is very open about his expectations for the team this year. He said, "I think we're pretty championship or bust. Doc Rivers obviously has won a title. I haven't gotten there yet. Joel and Ben haven't gotten there yet. You go into every season hoping to win the title. Not a lot of teams have that chance, but we absolutely have a chance, and we're going to continue to work hard until we give ourselves the best chance possible. I think we have a very good chance."
Well, they controlled the Lakers last night. Now it's just a game. Lakers almost pulled that off, by the way. Talent's never been their issues. It's always been fit in chemistry. The talent's fine. Tobias Harris, Embiid, Ben Simmons are all very talented people.
It was just putting it all together. Tobias Harris had 24 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists last night, including hitting the game-winning shot. Joel had 28 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and Ben Simmons added 17, 11, and 10. It was really complete game last night. If they can be consistent like this throughout the season, I don't see why they can't. I still think that the Nets in the end have more talent, higher level talent, maybe not a more complete team, and obviously have to still continue to work on their chemistry as well. But I like that Daryl Morey said this because it is championship or bust. I don't like when teams have this type of talent on their team, and it's what kind of the mantra was in Houston for a while. It's like, we don't win a championship, that doesn't mean it's not a good season. No, if you have high level talent on your team and you don't win a championship, it is not a good season. If you're rebuilding, if you've just drafted the newest young star and you've got to develop him, okay, the expectations can be managed. But this is a failure if they don't end up winning a championship.
Well, you've got two elite players. Let's just say you have a star in Embiid, and you have two really talented guys in Tobias Harris and Simmons. And in the East, that should be no worse than like a 2 seed. I mean, it really should be.
I mean, they're number one in the East now. Yeah, they should be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, Miami, Boston, Brooklyn. That's who should be battling. Everybody else is looking up at that.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I've known Greg Olson for a long time. Used to bring him on the show at the other place in here. Warms my heart. He is now a part of Fox Sports NFL analyst. Really smart guy. Really thoughtful guy. I do feel some guilt because he was down to Buffalo and Seattle, and I texted him twice pushing him to go to Seattle, and it was Buffalo that made the NFC Championship. So I am riddled with guilt. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Hopefully it didn't sever our relationship. That was a really bad move by me. I feel terrible. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate it. That I look back on those texts, and I put a lot of stock in what you thought, but I'm glad I still went to Seattle. It was a good experience. I was happy for Buffalo. I had a lot of friends there, had a lot of people there, but I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't having a little bit of buyer's remorse, you know?
So Deshaun Watson is 25 and now potentially on the market, which, as you know, Greg, because of the franchise tag, it just doesn't happen. This is not what happens in the NFL, especially for star quarterbacks. So if you were his agent or Deshaun, what would be attractive to you and what would worry you? Is there something that you would say, okay, I'm not going there? And is there something that maybe that's underrated that would attract you to a team?
Yeah, so first and foremost, he's leaving Houston because he just views it as just like institutional chaos. I think that's really the reason they're in this predicament. They've traded away so many good players. There was really no organizational structure. There was no GM. The head coach was the GM. There was some kind of infighting amongst higher executive levels about who was in charge and who was making decisions. And I think he's just like, I'm too young. I'm too talented. I have too many things I want to accomplish. I can't be around this nonsense. So here he is forcing his way out, which is, you know, almost unheard of in today's NFL for a young star quarterback to be available, let alone publicly be asking for his trade. I think when you go down the line, the clearest fit as far as offensive head coach, young-minded offensive kind of innovative head coach, team built to win, was just in the Super Bowl a year ago, is the 49ers. I think San Francisco, if they could somehow land him, I think they immediately go to the top of the list, at least in the NFC,
yeah,
and saying that they're the favorite, right? I mean, we just saw what that team was able to do when they were healthy, the young defense that you're not really paying anybody much. I mean, to me, that's the team. Again, whether that's possible or not, I think that's obviously the number one fit. And again, with Kyle Shanahan and an offensive young-minded head coach, I think that's the dream, right? That's what every young quarterback is looking for.
But there's a couple issues I want to talk to you about. You know the game behind the game in the NFL. Okay, there's the game, and then there's stuff that's going on that you've been around the league, you get it. So I theorize that the Rams have gone public with this Jared Goff stuff, McVay and Snead, in harmony. And they've done it not because he's a bad kid, but because they did him a solid by signing him early. They're now trapped by his contract. He's regressed. And they went to the agent and said, okay, let's redo the contract. And the agent said, no, we're not going to do it. So they're going to go, okay, then we're going to call out your client publicly. That's my gut feeling on what's happening. Right, I can't think of anything else, because by all accounts, Goff's a nice kid. He almost never talks. He's like really, really quiet. What do you make of suddenly the Rams front office yesterday leaking it that we don't even know if he's going to be a starting quarterback next year?
Yeah, I mean, there's something going on, right? I mean, most organizations that are fully committed to, especially a young quarterback, they bend over backwards to publicly support and empower that player. You never, whether they behind the scenes feel a different way, the public narrative from these organizations is always to do whatever we can to protect the confidence, protect the development of our most valuable asset. And in regards to Jared Goff, you touched on it earlier, the contract they're paying him, they're at a little bit of a crossroads. It's in, when we were getting ready to play them in the wild card round, and he was injured and he had the surgery the prior week, the last week of the regular season, and who was going to start? Was it Walt Wofford or him? Internally, I know a lot of us thought that it almost gave the Rams a chance to make a move that they thought allowed them to be better. I think Wofford's ability to run around and get out on the pocket. I remember we played him twice this year, and watching Goff, they do so much boots and naked. He's out on the perimeter, but he's not a runner. He's zero threat to really advance the ball at all as a runner. So teams don't really have to come up and defend him. They see everybody staying back. He's on the edge. He's running, but he's really no threat. And I think all of a sudden they put in the other kid and he's running and diving, converting third downs. All of a sudden now they're running their rollouts and their boots and their nakeds. And now defenses are coming up to tackle him. Now guys are open downfield. And I think McVay said to himself, this adds another element to our run. You know, this adds another element to this playoff run. And all of a sudden he starts against us in the wild card round. He doesn't really make it out of the first quarter or so. And Goff came in and played pretty well. He was healthy. So if he was good enough to be the backup and come in, there was something weird about him not starting that game.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing just didn't sit right. And when Wofford took the first snap, we were like, it was interesting.
Yeah. No, your point is he was good enough to play, and they essentially benched him. They just didn't make it public that they benched him. That's what you're saying.
And again, I'm speculating, right? If I always find it funny, guys that are injured, he's in uniform and he's an emergency player. They do this a lot with like injured offensive linemen, right? They keep him up if he's in a uniform, at some point he could go in the game. It could be on the second play of the game. If he's good enough to be the backup emergency and he's your guy, then he should be good enough to play. He ended up playing, three quarters against us anyway.
It's interesting. The Aaron Rodgers drama post game. It's weird. It's an organization without an owner. It's the smallest market. Maybe Aaron doesn't really have a sounding board. He's a single guy. He's not married. We're his sounding board. But it did kind of create a little bit of a chaos where everybody had to clean it up for 3 or 4 days. How is Aaron viewed in the league? Like, I don't think, and we've seen this with certain stars. Some are passive-aggressive. Michael Jordan was confrontational. LeBron early was a little more passive-aggressive. Like, Are there players in the NFL that say, yeah, Aaron's talented, but he does feel like a lot of work? I mean, it just felt like it was unnecessary commentary after a game that became kind of a mess.
It was, and I think we've all been in those positions where you think back to things you said in the post game, and you're like, you know, I probably didn't need to cause that, you know, that storm on myself. I know how I view him, and this might differ from other guys, but I love his whole moxie. I love his whole attitude. I don't need my quarterback to be how everyone else needs him to be. I think they come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all different personalities. And I think his kind of chip on the shoulder, kind of look out of the corner of his eye and give you kind of a smirk. And I think that's just him. And I'm sure if you ask the guys on the Packers, they love it. I know if I was on his team, like, I would embrace that. I think he is true to who he is. He's not for everyone, but I'm just not of the mind that every quarterback needs to fit this certain mold and always say the right thing, do the right thing. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. He's not afraid to say things when he doesn't think things are right. I love Rodgers. I think his personality, his demeanor, his attitude on the field, I love everything about him.
So, listen, I love Russell Wilson. That's why I text you and told you to go to Seattle. But I have to be honest about it. I didn't love their schemes. I think they run it too much. It's frustrating for me. There's been analytic people like Warren Sharp who have come out and been highly critical of the offense, which is far too run-centric. And the reality is, Patrick Mahomes' 9 losses in the NFL, Greg, you have to score 36 to beat him. Okay, so like that's the reality of the NFL now. You were in Seattle for a year. I don't want to put you on the spot, but did you sense some frustration from Russell, who's not the guy, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's going to say, go Hawks, I love my team. That's who he is. But did you sense a little frustration?
Yeah, Russ is the most consistent, dialed in at all times, never has an off moment, never has a lapse in concentration. Player, not just quarterback, player I've ever been around. I mean, it didn't matter if it was a Zoom call in April with a handful of guys learning the offense or if it was the Friday practice before the playoff game. Like, he doesn't have anything other than on. So first and foremost, that just to be around him and experience that firsthand was a huge treat and was a huge, you know, kind of, it was a great experience for me as a player, especially at this stage in my career. I think as far as it goes to our offense, you know, when you look early on in the year, the defense was finding their way. They were kind of, we had some new pieces. We added Jamal. We had some really talented guys that were kind of trying to find their mold. And I think as a team, the philosophy was we got to go out and try to score 40, right? So the breaks were off and we were just rolling and it was shots and it was attack. And we were in full court. It was like we were full court pressing from the opening tip. And that formula won. We won some high scoring games. We won some games there at the end in 2-minute drive. And that really seemed to be our energy. And then there was kind of like this shift where all of a sudden, halfway through the season, the defense really started playing well and they really started to find their groove. We got Jamal Adams back. He was injured earlier in the year and he obviously made a huge, huge difference. And all of a sudden now we didn't go into games philosophically saying we need to score 40. You know, so now we reverted back to a little of that old mantra of our defense is really playing well this back half of the season. Let's not put them in tough situations with turnovers. Let's protect the ball. Let's run the ball. And really the magic that we had the first half of the year, we kind of flipped our mindset. And yeah, I mean, and at times we questioned it, but we continued to win. We won 12 games and, you know, winning, you know, justifies every decision, but you know, we just didn't have enough juice there down the stretch offensively, and it kind of reared its head there in the opening round of the playoffs.
By the way, tell people at Fox, Greg Olson, Fox Sports analyst, he just retired a couple days ago, a Sunday. So what are you going to be doing for us?
Yeah, so this season, I've had some really cool opportunities, and a lot of them were through Fox to call games on my bye week. A couple years ago, me and Kevin Burkhart called the game. Last year, Kevin and I called 5 weeks of what turned out to be the only 5 weeks of the XFL schedule, and we got to work together. So I'm going to be joining a broadcast crew this season. A lot of those details are still kind of being flushed out through Fox, and it'll be announced as we get closer to the season. But I'll be full-time calling games every weekend. It's something I've really enjoyed doing. I love studying the game. I love the preparation that goes into it during the week. It's very similar to my preparation as a player. So I'm looking forward to it. I obviously have a lot to learn, and as we all know, that line of work comes with its fair share of critics, and I'm ready for that. So I welcome the challenge, and I'm really excited to join the Fox Group. I had a great time with you and everybody, Tony, and everybody on Sunday before the championship rounds. It's just a great group to work with, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. Great having you on the team, man.
All right. Always enjoy it, Colin. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Greg Olsen, who had a great career, 14 years, multiple Pro Bowls, most catches, yards by a tight end in Panthers history, and maybe Buffalo could have used him this past weekend. Coming up next, it is strange with the trade Deshaun Watson that could happen. The dominoes it would set off. It's really fascinating, the dominoes that it would set off around the league, and we'll kind of speculate on those coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Finding the perfect bouquet for Valentine's, never easy. It is with 1-800-Flowers, 24 multicolored roses, $29.99, or upgrade to 24 red roses, $10 more, 1-800-Flowers.com, code H-E-R-D. So we have said, even though the Jets do not really have what I would want if I was Deshaun Watson. You don't know if Saleh can coach. They don't have any weapons. They have organizational chaos. They make way too much sense. They've got everything you need, the picks, the opening, the assets at quarterback to make this work. And I'll show you an example. So Greg Olsen agreed. You agree. Joy, we all agree. San Francisco is the best place to go. So we're going to play quarterback dominoes. Here's how it could work if Deshaun had a choice. So Deshaun, they would be Super Bowl co-favorites with Kansas City if he went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
That would be if I was his agent, if I was Deshaun. That's the easy one. There's no buts. Everything works. San Francisco does have a player or two they could trade. They have a surplus of talent, and they have the 12th pick they'd give to Houston. Houston would also get many of their other picks, so they could move that 12th pick up. But in this instance, they go with Deshaun Watson. Houston makes a deal. So what does that mean? Jimmy Garoppolo's on the market. Garoppolo then goes to a place he's been. They won with him. They know him. San Francisco's unhappy with him. That's why they make the deal for Deshaun Watson. And so Garoppolo goes to the Patriots, solving their quarterback dilemma. So what happens after that? So then, number three, the Colts are a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl-worthy team. They may have misgivings about Matthew Stafford's inability to win. But Stafford, who's got the okay to look for work, would choose the Colts because he's smart enough to see, I can win a bunch of games here, and they have a great O-line and a great GM and a great coach. So Stafford would agree with it. The Colts are not going to go young. They just drafted a rookie quarterback last year, and this team's ready to win now. Why roll the dice on a rookie quarterback? They already have one in-house. Jacob Eason. So they're going to go for the best available quarterback on the market. Now that Deshaun's off, Garoppolo's off, they go Stafford. What happens after that? Well, the Jets, they didn't get Deshaun Watson. They have the number two pick. They take Zach Wilson. It's a fresh start. Robert Saleh. Zach Wilson is very highly graded. I think higher than Darnold out of college. So what does that do to Darnold? Washington acquires Sam Darnold. Nothing against Alex Smith. Can't trust him physically. This team, I believe, is ready to win now in that division with that defense and that coach. I think they go out and get Sam Darnold, and I think it's a great fit for Sam Darnold. Then, who's next? The Lions have a very good pick. They take Justin Fields, the best available young guy in their eyes, Midwest kid, or, you know, he played for Ohio State, very popular choice, Dan Campbell, new coach, wants a fresh start. Then it's Carolina next. They go get Trey Lance. He's probably not quite ready to play like Justin Fields. Well, that's perfect because they have Teddy Bridgewater, who, like Alex Smith, cerebral, steady, reliable, teaches him the tricks for a year, then takes over, and then Teddy backs him up. Then, finally, the Texans. Oh, they're screwed. Like their coaching search, they don't have anything. So the point being is, that's why the Jets offer nothing to Deshaun Watson. Nothing. Stability, weapons, definite head coach. It's why the Texans are going to try to do a deal with the Jets. the Jets and the Texans, the Jets could say, listen, we'll give you the number two pick. So you get Zach Wilson. We'll also give you Darnold. And you can trade him in a year. You can start him for a year. See, you know what? And then trade him and use Zach. Well, it's perfect. You could get the number two pick and Sam Darnold. You also get the Jets have nothing but first round picks and third round picks because of the Jamal Adams trade. So that's why the Jets is the one that makes sense. Or the Texans could be in. You think this thing's bad now. You may look up in 5 years and they're Detroit because they've won some divisions in the last 5 years. Greg Cosell around the corner, hour two, live in LA. It's the Herd.